Last Sunday morning, we studied from God's Word and looked at some teachings concerning our learning to obey the Lord, the authority that He has over us, and what we need to learn from that and to submit to that to glorify God as God by seeking to fulfill His will in our lives and not our own. And this morning, we want to continue to look at that and really look at what is the next step as our obedience, learning to obey the Lord, is based in the authority of the Lord. We did have the opportunity to look at some scriptures that teach children to obey their parents. We read Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, where he tells us, tells children to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so that is the first contact with the authority of God that any of us have when we are born into this world, into our families, where we are under the authority of our parents. And children have to learn to obey the Lord by obeying their parents. So we want to look at that in some more detail this morning, and really we'll have the opportunity to examine it from not just the standpoint of the children learning to obey God by learning to obey their parents, but then the job the parents have to train their children and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that they learn to obey the Lord from the time that they are born into this world. And there's a lot of teaching about that, and so we'll have the I want to take the opportunity to study some of these scriptures on this subject for where children learn to obey the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, if we can turn there. Proverbs 29 verse 15, he says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Well, the Lord is speaking a general truth there, and children do have to learn to obey their parents. Does this mean all parents teach their children to obey the Lord? Do they teach their children who God is and the authority that God has over us all, over all His creation, that we all must submit to, including the children? And do the parents teach the children that authority they're exercising over them is the authority of the Lord that they're learning to submit to? And as part of that, I mean, there is the teaching. When the children if they disobey, are they corrected for that? Are they corrected with proper teachings concerning what the Lord says and what they did wrong? Why they should not do that wrong action again, which is what reproof is, that he mentions there in Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Do parents also use the necessary physical discipline? Well, when we think about ourselves as we're brought up in a family on this earth, God established the family, and there is a father that's over the family, the parents over the children in the family. Well, this is a reflection of the spiritual family that we all ultimately belong to. And God is the father of us all. He is the father of His family, and we are the children of God as part of His family when we are in Christ Jesus. Well, how does our father... how does He train us? How does God train us? Well, we are all learning to obey, submit to His authority. And does God teach us? And does He correct us in His Word? He gives us those verbal teachings that we need. Does God also work in our lives? Does He bring consequences upon us in our lives when we don't do what is right? Do we learn from those? That chastening the Lord. Right now we don't have time to read all through Hebrews chapter 12, but that's a chapter where he reminds us not to despise the chastening of the Lord. There are things that happen to us where we can be buffeted for our faults, to use the language of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, when we are suffering consequences for our errors. Well, does God use the rod and reproof on us? Well, he does. He uses the reproof of his word, and he does use a rod in our lives to bring to exact discipline and chasten us when we've done wrong. And we have to listen to that and respond to that by learning that obedience and submitting to the Lord. And if we've done wrong, not to do that again. So God uses the rod and reproof on us. Well, parents have to use that on their children to bring them up in the Lord's nurture and admonition. And to not do that, now some don't do either. Some don't bother with the children to give them any kind of teaching or training. Some might give some verbal teaching, but not use the rod. Might not use the physical discipline that is necessary at times. But what is the result if a child is left to themselves, if they are without that training, that being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if they don't have that rod and reproof that will give them wisdom? Well, they're going to lack that wisdom. And then what's going to happen in their behavior later? Well, it says that the child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Well, a misbehaving child, and there are a lot of proverbs about that. A child that doesn't behave, a child that is foolish, is going to bring a lot of grief and shame to their parents. Well, by the same token, if we are not submitting to the Lord, are we causing God grief when we don't do his will? Which is the ultimate lesson that we need to be learning, and the children need to be learning. And we don't want to be causing God grief and make him ashamed of us. But a child left to himself is going to bring his mother to shame. So we have to give that rod and reproof in raising the children so they learn obedience to God and have that wisdom that they need. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 7, the Lord gave here what Jesus himself described as the great commandment in the law. This is the greatest of all the commandments that God gave. But then we also want to notice what goes along with that commandment in its details. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now we're not going to again take the time, because we don't have it, to go to the New Testament. We can look at accounts such as in Matthew 22. When they asked Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? And the lawyer that asked him that was doing so with the design to try to ensnare him in his words. He was not being sincere with the question. Nevertheless, Jesus gave the answer to the question that the great commandment in the law is this one. This is the one he quoted. And then said the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those were the two, number one and number two, of the great commandments in the law, and he said all the other ones hang upon those two. Well, here's that greatest commandment, as Jesus himself said it was, for us to love the Lord our God with all thy heart, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, there's what we studied last week, as we learn and to obey God, to submit to his authority. He's our creator and our owner. We all belong to him. And therefore, the greatest commandment is for us to love him. And if we love him, we're going to obey him. And we need to do so with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But look at verses 6 and 7 that go with this. He doesn't just stop at verse 5. Verse 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So part of obeying that commandment, if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then what is one of the great works that we have? In fact, if we are our parents, is there any greater work that we will have for the Lord in our lives than the work that we have to build in the hearts of our children, which are his children? They belong to him, and for God to use us to try to train up and form the hearts of those children that He's given to us, what greater work is there than that? And so if we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, what are we going to do with the children that He gives to us? Well, we're going to diligently teach His words to our children. His words need to be in our heart. That's how we show we love Him, by obeying those words that He's taught us to obey. And they need to be in our hearts. And then we need to diligently teach those to our children. And then not just, well, every now and then mention those things. But if we love God with all of our heart, doesn't the Lord say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? And if we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, how often are we going to speak of Him and of His ways and His commandments? Is that going to be something that only comes up every so often, or might be by some casual mention from our lips? Or if we love Him with all of our heart, are we not going to be, from the abundance of our heart and that love we have for God, be speaking of Him and His ways constantly? Well, that's what he says there. And we need to speak of these commandments of the Lord and His ways when we're sitting in our house, when we're walking on the road, or, well, in our case, maybe when we're riding in our cars. I mean, what are we talking about? And from the time that when we lie down at night to when we wake up the next day. So that's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? It's extremely comprehensive. So how often should we be speaking of the Lord and His ways? And we need to be doing that all of the time, as the Lord says. That will show the Lord that we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But that's also then going to be instilled, ingrained in our children, for them to have that same love for Him. They need to be brought up hearing these things from day one, and so that these words are very much ingrained in their hearts. Psalm 78, if we can turn there, Psalm 78. It's a lengthy psalm, and it includes the historical account, detail by detail, of the rebellion of the nation of Israel. It gives the historical record of their disobedience to God. But the psalm begins with the solution to that great problem that Israel had so often in their history. Really, these are words we need to listen to and apply today just as well. It is the solution for rebellion, whatever time, whoever it might be, or whatever time it might be, whatever age it might be on this earth. Psalm 78, let's read 1 through 8. Give, O ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now, in this case, those that he's addressing there, had their parents mentioned these things to them? Had they heard those things? Had they heard those things when they were sitting in their houses, and when they were walking by the road, from when they were lying down to when they were rising up? Well, he says, we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So in this case, had their fathers failed in their teaching, in their responsibility to teach these things to their children? Well, he says, we've heard these things. Our fathers have told us these things. Then verse 4, he says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Well, there had been a history of rebellion. What's the cure for that? To obey, to not rebel anymore. And then for those ones whose fathers had been rebellious, to choose to obey the Lord, and then to teach their children not to rebel. And who will then teach their children, and they will then teach their children, and so on, for the generations to come. And if that teaching and training of the children, generation by generation, does not continue, then what's going to happen? Now, do we want only our children to know the Lord and His ways and follow them? What about their children? What about our grandchildren? What about our great-grandchildren? And some in here have lived long enough to see great-grandchildren, or maybe even some great-great-grandchildren. Some live long enough on the earth to actually see that many generations. But whether we live to see them or not, if we had that many descendants for however many generations, what do we want them to be like? Is our goal to have a great number of descendants? I mean, that's a good thing. If the Lord blesses us with many children, many descendants, that is the heritage of the Lord. But is it just the numbers themselves that make that the heritage of the Lord? Or is it if there's a godly seed on this earth, that if our children and their children and the generations to come, if they know the Lord and they continue to follow the Lord's ways? I think about that sometimes with generations before me that follow the Lord. I mean, I remember from my father's mother and even her mother and past that. I mean, they're long gone. But I do think about what they did and how they lived their lives and what they taught their children and how that has continued to come down to the next generations, but not all of them have followed the Lord, and for us to be able to pass that legacy of obedience to the Lord to the next generation, it's a work that we need to do. I mean, that's what's going to prevent rebellion from coming back, if the children will listen and follow that. So there's that goal that we have for each one of us and for the generations to come from. One after another, as long as is there on the earth. And that would, what greater work could be done than for if many generations that our descendants continue to steadfastly follow the Lord and not turn against Him. Well, that's going to require a lot of teaching and training. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, Proverbs 13, 22, he says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." Well, there's two different kinds of inheritances. What kind of inheritance, what kind of wealth does a sinner leave behind? Well, not spiritual wealth, but some material wealth. And how much control does a person really have as what's going to become of whatever they've accumulated in their lives that they go and leave behind? We're going to leave whatever it is behind that we've got one day. But how much control do we have at that point when we leave over what happens with whatever we've left behind? That control goes very quickly. The Lord's doing a work in that, and He mentions that. But He starts not by mentioning the sinner's wealth, which is a material wealth, but the kind of inheritance that a good man leaves to his, not just children, but his children's children. Now, what kind of inheritance would that be? And what have we been studying about in all these scriptures? What is the most valuable thing we can leave behind in this life? Is it some degree of material possessions for the next generation and that those that come after them? Or would it be a spiritual inheritance? Isn't the greatest thing we could leave behind the example and teaching of following the Lord, that our children and our grandchildren and so forth would continue to learn that and follow that also? And That's what we need to be striving for. Verse 24, Proverbs 13, verse 24, he says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And that betimes means properly. Well, that is it by accident that that's just two verses after a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children? Well, how does that spiritual inheritance get left behind, that good kind? Well, by not sparing the rod, by chastening our children. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, as we saw in chapter 29 and verse 15 earlier. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Proverbs 17, 6. He says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Now, for that to be true, is that just in a physical sense, or again by counting numbers, or is that something spiritual? He's talking about something spiritual. Children's children are a crown of old men. Well, is that true if they've got, if somebody's like, "Yeah, I've got two dozen wicked grandchildren, top that." I mean, that's not going to be something that anybody's going to be bragging about that's got any sense. If we have two dozen grandchildren one day, if they're following the Lord, I mean, that's a crown and for us to wear. That's something very good. But if the children aren't serving God, then really what's the good of that number? And he says the glory of children are their fathers. Well, how's that going to be a glory to the children? Well, I mean, doesn't everybody have parents? Well, for that to be a glory to their children, what kind of parents do they have? Well, that would be the kind of parents that have brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that have trained them up in the Lord's ways. Then that's something that they can appreciate. And for us to, if we have had parents and grandparents and those before us that have left that inheritance to us that we're partakers of, well, that is a glory for us to have been blessed in that way, and something we need to be very thankful for, and then show that again by instilling that in our children and grandchildren, those generations to come. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Now, most children don't get excited about every aspect of that verse. But they need to learn that, though. And as parents, we do need to chasten our children while there is hope. Is there a such thing as maybe figuring something out too late? If we haven't done what the Lord says to do with them, and then we start at a point where they've already set their direction to not follow the Lord, well, we might try at that point, but when is the right time to start teaching our children and using the rod and reproof? We need to do that from the beginning, and while the hope is there. And and children are very good at this, they figure things out very quickly, but if they figure out if by wailing loud enough or long enough that might influence us to lighten up on providing the discipline that they need, they're going to use that to manipulate us. They'll manipulate us out of disciplining them with that. So of course, he's not teaching us to physically abuse, but we need to provide that discipline. If they start screaming their heads off about it, I mean, we know that that crying whatever the punishment is, isn't worthy of that response, and we don't need to lay off because they are using that tactic, because all children, we can probably all look back when we were children and know we tried that ourselves at one point. Didn't work for me, but which is a good thing. But anyway, the Lord teaches us these very, very important and basic principles in child rearing. Proverbs 20 and verse 11, he says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." And that is very true. And children that are brought up in the Lord's nurture and admonition, and if they are righteous in heart and they love righteousness and they love to serve, They're going to be known for that. We also know those bratty children that are very much known for that too. Too late for us to do anything about what kind of child we once were when we're past that, but we can do something about what we're like as an adult. But for our children, we need to train them in this and remind them that they're going to be known by those that are serving the Lord. They're going to be known for either doing that also as a child, and they will be greatly appreciated and valued. Even in their childhood, if they are showing that kind of a good heart, but also if they're not doing right, they're going to be known for that. Proverbs 22, verse 6, he says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We need to provide that training. Now, other than giving the training, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, providing that rod and reproof, ingraining them with God's words, talking about them when we're in our house and when we are walking in the road, or when we are when we lie down at night, and when we get up in the morning, and doing all of that, and then living it. If past that, how much control do we have over our children's decisions in their lives and what they do with them? Well, we don't. And ultimately, they're going to have to decide whether they're going to follow that or not. I mean, we want to give them every encouragement to do so in their childhood. Some will rebel. Some will rebel and then at some point will revert back to their training, to what they were brought up in. Luke 15, he teaches that parable of the prodigal son that we're not going to read right now, but he'd been brought up to do what's right. He went astray. He came home, returned to the Lord, and repented. And some will do that. Now, some don't. And we could spend quite a bit of time looking at some examples of those who were taught by their parents in the right ways and rejected it anyway. Very sad when that happens. But children have to be taught and trained in God's ways. But they ultimately have to choose to follow the Lord and submit to his authority. They have to choose that for themselves. They need to be encouraged to do so and trained to do so. We need to ask the Lord to work with them, to help them to do that. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And then chapter 23, Proverbs 23:13-14 says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Well, a child that learns to obey the Lord will be a delight to their parents. Providing that training and that discipline, that correction, will be necessary for that to happen. So children have to learn to obey the Lord, and they have to learn that from their parents. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, was one that brought up the children in his house in the Lord's nurture and admonition. And God had this testimony of Abraham and the kind of father that he was. Genesis 18:19. He says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." David, a man after God's own heart, taught Solomon, his son, to follow the Lord and to value wisdom and understanding above all things. We know the record, and I'll just give you the reference, but 1 Kings 3, 5 through 12, that's the account when God asked Solomon what he would desire, and Solomon asked for a wise and understanding heart to judge his people. Well, he learned that from David, his father, according to Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 3 there, where Solomon said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, 'Let thine heart retain my words. keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And that chapter continues on with those rich teachings that we know that David gave to Solomon as he's mentioning that. That's why Solomon learned to value that. In the New Testament, we have an excellent example with Timothy, who was a young man when he converted to Christ. But he had had the training by his mother and grandmother. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10, this is the Apostle Paul being inspired to write to Timothy, and he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Well, it tells us in chapter 1 that he had been taught that unfeigned faith had been instilled in him from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Well, from his childhood, Timothy had learned and known those holy scriptures and followed them. And we can see what fruit that produced in him as his life continued on, as he became one of the greatest servants of Christ that we read about in all of God's Word. And so we have many examples like that, and we can see parents and grandparents who did bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and how the children learned to obey the Lord by that training from their godly parents. This morning is an opportunity for you now, if you have not yet become a child of God, if you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, confessing your faith in him as the Son of God, then we're ready and very much eager to assist you in your obedience to the Lord so that you can become his child and have hope of eternal life. If you are a member of the body of Christ, if you're a child of God, if you have not been serving him as you should and need to return to him, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with him now. And we want to encourage anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to do so now while we stand together and sing.